Today's daf from Masechet Kittin is daf Yud Aleph, and we are holding on the top line of the daf. So yesterday we said that it is possible to be makshir a get, a libet Rebbe Elazar, where you have a signature of goyim, and we have Edei Mesira, and therefore we're going a libet Rebbe Elazar holds that Edei Mesira karte. And that this would not be a problem of Mizuyaf Mitocho in the event that Mr. Christopher von Offenstein is signed on the get, because that's a Shemot Muvakim, and nobody would think for a moment that we could actually rely on those signatures for another shtar. They would understand that the reason that this get had that name on it was because there were kosher Jewish Edei Mesira. And therefore, if there were Samech on the Edei Mesira, that would be fine. Ask the Gemara today, just to clarify the sugya, what would you call Shemot Muvakim? So, Echidam Shemot Muvakim, Omer of Papa, well, you could have a name like Hormiz. Now, actually, Tosus points out that the correct Girsa over here ought to be Hormin, because that is the name of the Satan at the time, the Persian Satan. Hermes is considered to be a Chasheva god, and that name would be used perhaps by a Jew too. But no one in his right mind would possibly call someone Herman, would they? So, Barnea, it's always bad when you get near the computer. That I can tell you.
How's it now?
Yeah, how's it now? Nothing changed, thank God. Okay, now, so a name like Herman, or Avudina, or Bar Shiptai, or Bar Kidri, or Bati, or Nakimuna, these are names that are nasty names, you know, and that they wouldn't be, it's like, you know any Jews named Adolf? Many. Okay, in any event, whatever the Shemot Muvakim would be, and there's man, obviously, is dependent on the social realities. Okay, let's get back to what you said yesterday. That Alibet Rebbe Elazar were Semech on Edei Mesira only where we don't have to be Geizer, that you're going to be coming to be Semech on them in other circumstances. Which means that if the Shemot were Einan Muvakim, and these are names that people may mistake for Jewish names, and therefore they would be coming to be Semech on them for other contracts based on this get, thinking that here we have a professional get with these signatures, obviously these are kosher witnesses, and we make a gezeirah, therefore, that essentially the get should be posel, because Rebbe Elazar is also made of a mizuyaf bitocho. So what are you saying that if they're einan muvakimai, what's the din? The din is that you cannot be makshalem, right? Then I've got a problem. Because Iochi adetoni sefer, we find at the end of this whole discussion that it ends with the words lo huskuru. Where did we talk about all over the place? And everybody knows that there's a din, that a get that comes out of goyish courts are puzzle. That's only bisman shenasu behedyot. That's only if they come out of not properly constituted courts. But if they were done in a court, it would be okay. Now that's very misleading, because that's not what it should have said. It should have said liflog velitni bididah. It should have made a distinction even in those gittim that actually come out of a properly constituted court, and it should have said bamed dvarim amurim. So it should be liflog velitni bididah. Take the same case that we've been dealing with, namely, it's in a regular court, and it should say, when do we accept a get that comes from a court of goyim? That's only b'shemot muvakim, but b'shemot she'in muvakim. Since we have this gezeira that you're going to come to be semach on them, lo, then it should not be mutter. So how is it that we suddenly change the whole thing and say, well, in a court it's okay, mashmet, no matter what, but behed yotot, it's not okay? If that's not the main point, is it? Now, that is the point, says the Gemara. Hinami Mikomer, that's what the Mishnah is trying to say. The Mishnah is trying to say that the only time that we're makshir is dafke b'shemot muvakim and not b'shemot she'inan muvakim. But if it would be shemot she'inan muvakim, then it is the equivalent of not being in court. In other words, as far as we're concerned, an arka'ah is only an arka'ah if it's clearly indicated that that's the case. However, if it appears to be a possibly Jewish get, then it's the equivalent of having Stam Goyim give a get, where obviously it's useless. So it becomes the equivalent of Kamisha Nasu Be'ediot, and you cannot be Soymich on it at all, and it's possible. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the end of the Braita is coming to go back to the Rabbonin. In other words, it's going back to the Gitei Mamon. Right? In other words, initially, the Rabbonin say, Kol ashtarot that are olin barka'ot shel goyim are ksherim. V'achi kamar, and therefore what it says is, lo huzkeru gitei mamon de psulim. If you ever hear that normal gitim, which are araya, in other words, not gitim that create the halach of gerishin or shichra, that's dafke bizman shenasu behedyot. If all it is a shtaraya, then the only time that you might have heard that it's pasul when it comes from goyim is where it wasn't in a properly constituted court. Because remember, the only reason that we're being semich on this is because since it's in an arka'a, so we're saying that they, as we said in the beginning of the sugya, lo mirei nafshayu, they are not going to put themselves into a position where it becomes a scandal that they accepted a contract that says so-and-so paid for such-and-such a property, and it was all a lie. I mean, that's a disaster. And therefore, obviously, they have to be continuously on guard to safeguard their own legal system. Over there, yes, we're soymich on that because the rabbanon accept that as the equivalent of a kosher shtar because of that umdana. But stam, you get a couple of goyim together that put out a shtar and it's not sabedyotos and they, you know, make this kangaroo court, that is not considered to be kosher. That's what you must have heard when you heard that goyish shtar otoposel. It doesn't mean a proper shtar from a proper court. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Kach Amar Rabbi Shimon l'chachomim b'tzadam. That actually, we have the following conversation where the Rabbi Shimon clarified what the machlokas was with Rabbi Akiva. And we had over there the shaila of shtorot that come, kol ashtorot, as we started talking about over here. The Chachomim said kol ashtorot, even though it's goyim usanadar or kisherim. Okay, meaning, depending what we're talking about. Obviously, if we're talking about Kitenashim and Shichrure Avodim, it's only Ksherim in very particular circumstances. What are those circumstances? As we've already defined it, Aliba de Rabbi Elazar would be kosher because we had Ede Mesira, and it's talking about where we had a Shemot Muvakim. If it's talking about Shtarei Ra'aya, so then it's kosher no matter what, because that's perfectly all right, as we said before, because Lo Marayo Nafshayo. So everybody's made it to that. The only place where we find that Rabbi Akiva argues, lo nechleku, the machlokus is that Rabbi Akiva claims, certainly, let's read it inside, lo nechleku Rabbi Akiva chachomim akol ashtorot ha'olim barkot shlov dekochavim, even though there are goyim that are signed on it, are certainly okay, even if they're gitei nashim v'shichurei avonim, as long, of course, as we have Edim Esira and Shemot Muvakim. Okay, so what then is the machlokes? Lo nechleku lozman shenasu behediot. Over there, the question is, if you have, obviously not referring to Gitei Nashim, but let's say you have a sales that was made not in a courtroom. So over there, Rabbi Akiva is machshir, and he's not chayish that people made up the thing and simply lied, because Rabbi Akiva is actually machshir because Edim are frightened of being thrown into jail. So you can always be semech that there are laws against forgery. You don't need necessarily to be samech dafka on a court because lo mirei nafshayu. So this is Rabbi Akiva Shita that takes it out of the direction that we've had until now. Tosfos learns that Rabbi Akiva is only makshir because of Edei Mesira and not because of the fact that they won't be Meshaker, even in the Ishtarot. Okay, but in any event, the Chachomim over there are passing such cases, but if you have Gitei Noshim V'Shechrurei Avodim, we're over there, we're being Makshir specifically because it's a Mesira by definition. It's talking about Shemot Muvakim. Everybody knows that there is no possible way that these could be shtarot that have reliable witnesses to prove their testimony in other locations. Over there, that's where they said that's kosher, b'chatimat goyim. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, even Gitei Nashim and Shechrurei Avadim would also be kosher if they were made by Hedyot. And you don't need the halacha of Shemot Muvakim in a case where it has nothing to do with the specific signature. Namely, there are countries where Jews are not allowed to participate in any type of legal proceedings or documents. So let's say you live beyond the pale. So you are definitely looking at a contract that is a goyish contract because a Jew would be put in jail for signing a contract. So in that kind of situation, there we don't have to be chayish that anyone would rely on this signature. And therefore, in that case, you could be samech on Edei Mesira, because it's obviously not Jewish. But if it's a country where a Jew is allowed to sign, it doesn't help that they have Shemot Muvakim, because people just naturally assume, if they're not Lamdonim, that, gosh, here we have a get that this guy has signed on. Never occurs to them that Be'etzim were being Samech on Edei Mesira, Aliba the Rabbi Elazar. They will make the mistake of thinking that these are kosher witnesses, and therefore they would come to be semiklem in other cases, and because of that we said that that's the equivalent of mezuyaf mitocho. I don't understand what the difference is. I mean, if you're telling me, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that we're going to parcel a get that has a clear-cut goyish signature because of the mashma'ut of the name, Christopher von Offenstein, so then, if that's the case, why can't we make the same gezeira about a place where Yisrael does? In other words, someone who's not such a bucky, he doesn't know that because this get was issued in Poland, so Mamela must be a goy. In the same way that someone who reads Christopher von Offenstein, he sees a get, he feels okay. So the guy was a ger, I don't know. But apparently the Besdin accepted him. If you're ready to make a gezeira about a name like that, that maybe people will mistake it anyway, you could say the same thing. Maybe people will make the mistake and say, look, if in Poland you can rely on a get like this, why can't you rely on a get like this in Eretz Yisrael? Isn't it the same gezeira? So we should be gozer otu mokum sheyisrael chotmin, but you have to be gozer Poland for other places where Jews do sign. Answers Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, look, there's a tremendous difference between a particular case of name X and name Y, where it's easy to see how people will get confused, and over there we're gozer. Masha enkein atra ba'atra lo michlof, people know very well that a Polish get is not going to be signed by Jews because of the danger, the legal danger to Jews to sign it. But maybe they won't come to say, and therefore they'll think when they go to America, it's the same halacha in America. We don't make a gezeira like that. Ravina, he wanted to be makshir shtarot that were not made in an arka'ah, meaning an arka'ah is by definition a legally constituted court which is licensed to be a court. Now suppose you have a country that allows people to get together in the town hall and to ad hoc create a courtroom. So then if you have three people together everybody agrees that they will become a court, you can have a citizen's court, so to speak. So that's called a knufiata d'armoi, a gathering of non-Jews, which is not properly constituted in terms of the government recognizing this as a permanent court. But he said, what's the nafka mina? Even if it isn't called an official court, it's nonetheless a citizen's court. And there, too, we can rely on the fact that they're not going to be mari nafshayu. Omar le Rafram, it is not true. Because if it were the case, then why would the Mishnah have specified dafka arkaot? It says, kol ha-shtarot ha-olim ba-arkaot, if it's willing to accept even kufiyata arma'ata. So apparently, it's only where someone is a professional dayan that we can say he's going to be very careful not to be ma'ar'er his standing as a dayan. That's all we need, is that the newspapers get hold of the way that he wasn't careful about such a term, that maybe even it accepted some kickback in order to be maksha or non-kosher shtar for bechira. Then we understand that there's a tremendous scrutiny that these people are under. Masha Inking, to say that someone who happens to be involved in what may be a legally constituted ad hoc court, that he too is going to have that kind of feeling, it's not true. Because if it were, obviously the Mishnah would have expanded it to include more than arkaot. So you see, we're only willing to take this idea of an umdana to a certain extent. We're not going to say it's an umdana stam, that people are not going to be mari nafshai. It's not my profession. Okay, fine. You don't want to take me again to be a judge. You know what? I never wanted to be a judge anyway. Omar Rava. Rava says a chiddush. And we're going to try to figure out what precisely is the chiddush after we figure out the case, but he seems to be saying a chiddush. So if we have a shtar that is written in Persian, and it's signed in Persian by clear non-Jews. So it's a shtar parso. So it's written in Persian. And it was masrini ala ba'api sada Yisrael. However, it was given over with kosher Jewish witnesses. It doesn't matter that it's signed by Persians. It's also okay. And magbinam be mibnei chari. And you can collect then, even if it's hediotos, but you have Ede Mesira, there if you have Ede Mesira, you could be Semech, that the Ede Mesira knew, and Magvinam Be Mibnei Chori, you could be Gova, however, you cannot be Gova the way you would with a normal shtar. A normal shtar serves two purposes. First of all, it's proof that the money is owed. And secondly, because of the fact that it was put into a shtar and signed in this fashion, it served as a registration of that loan, so to speak, in a title company. The title company in those days was the fact that people blab, and that everybody was aware of what happens in the village, so that it is possible to easily discover that there is a lien against this field because the guy borrowed $100,000 and never paid it back. And the way that that's known is by the tumult that is created by making a shtar and people talking with the witnesses that were on the shtar and so on. What else is there to talk about in town? Now, obviously, we can't have a person who has money due to him come and collect properties that have been sold to other people, which is called Mishubadim, not Bnei Chorin, unless there was a way for the buyer to protect himself by finding out. If there's no way for a buyer to protect himself and something is done in private with an oral understanding to which we have witnesses, that is not going to generate a way for me as buyer to be certain that there's no lien against this field. Because of that, as part of the protection of markets, what the Chachamim said was only registered liens can actually be activated against the purchaser who buys after that lien is chal. But the fact that somebody owes money does not give you the right to collect it, because otherwise who the heck in his right mind would ever buy any property, and then you destroy the entire basis of commercial activity. Okay, so this shtar, says Rabbi Akiva, surprisingly, is a shtar vis-a-vis serving as proof of the fact that the loan is due. However, since it's a Persian shtar, it does not serve as a proper registration of the lien to protect the buyer. Therefore, all you can do is you can collect from the chosim that have not been sold. But if they've been sold, forget it. You can't get it out of the hands of a buyer. Okay, so our first question is, let's clarify how we're relying on this contract at all. If you're telling me that Jews are here, and they were the Edei Mesira. Edei Mesira to what, for God's sake? They don't know how to read Persian. I mean, well, they don't know what's going on. All they saw was somebody handing over a piece of paper. He could have said anything. That's not Edei Mesira. Edei Mesira have to be Edim on the particulars of the shtar. And if they don't know how to read, I mean, you said it's in Persian. I'm assuming the point of saying it's in Persian is to tell me that they don't have to be able to read it. So, v'haloyadei lamikra, they can't read the shtar. No, obviously, says the Gemara, it's talking about that the people who witnessed the Mesiras Hashtar knew how to read it. I mean, otherwise, what do you think, we're crazy? They do know. Okay, well then, if they do know, I'm not sure what the chiddush is. Maybe it's the fact that a Persian shtar is not properly constituted for a very beautiful reason. And that is that any shtar has to be made in such a way that it cannot contain anything in it that might have been inserted without the knowledge of the person who was mitchayev. And because of that, we have a takona on a shtar, which is last lines don't count. And the reason that last lines don't count is because you cannot be certain that the signature did not come a little bit low. Maybe the aide signed and left enough space to insert a final line. So because of that, every shtar always has a bunch of gobbledygook at the end, which I'm sure you always worry about. And yes, our chosin did actually read this, and he was mitchayev on everything, and kanina, and blah, 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 and akol sharir v'kayam. And yeah, I mean, what do I need all of that garbage for? Because we always go over the salient points of a contract in the last line so that other issues can't be thrown in. And we've already established all those issues so that there's never a problem of, wait a minute, the last line is the line that put the fine print. Okay, but that doesn't count. So because of that, we make certain that there is no fine print. And it always is chozer al atzmo in the last line. Persian contracts don't do that. And therefore, it's an improperly constituted contract, right? And the other thing that we do is we insist that a shtar has to be written on security paper. If it's possible to make an erasure, it is not a shtar. But Persian shtarot are not written on security paper, and therefore they should be not properly constituted shtarot. Those two very important rules would not have been applied to the shtar. I'm assuming that that's what Rav is talking about. He's talking about a standard Persian shtar, not just a kosher shtar that was written in Persian. Therefore, ask the Gemara, V'habeina k'tav she'noyo choli zayef leka. I thought we only accept writing on security paper that cannot be forged because it shows erasures. Answers the Gemara, no, we're talking about security paper. And over here, the shtar was written on cloth that was afitzan. So you use the coating of galnut on it. If you try to erase anything, it immediately and permanently shows up as an erasure. So we don't have that problem. Oh, okay. I mean, what about the other problem? And what about the ruling that the last line doesn't count and therefore we always insert at the last line, blah, 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 blah. V'akol sharir v'kayam is where everybody makes fun of that. You know, whenever somebody's going blah, 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 you always end with v'akol sharir v'kayam. So, and we don't have that. I mean, here you've got the all of the salient issues all the way to the end. But that means it's not a kosher shtar. No. It's talking about that it was written that way. But no matter, we did have it. I don't understand. So then, why isn't it a regular shtar? What is Rava talking about? I mean, is that what you're telling me? That a shtar that has all the requirements of a shtar is kosher if it's written in English? I mean, obviously. So why would Rava say, well, it's sort of kosher? It's kosher enough to collect from as a raya to the debt, but it's not kosher enough to protect a buyer, and therefore you cannot collect from the chosim mishubani miyachi mimashab de nami. Why would you not be able, through the Eidei Mesira, who are completely kosher, it should be a normal halva with a shtar, and a milva bishtar gova mimishubani? Answers Rava, let le kala. Since the Eidim that have signed on this are not people that are part of the village, in other words, they are indeed Persians, and we only have the Eidei Mesira, the language of the shtar is not the lingua franca here, and therefore normal people are not going to be aware of what's going on. So the fact that it's printed in the Russian newspaper is not sufficient to create the coal that is necessary to protect a buyer. And limitations on the coal mean that the shtar is by definition limited in terms of its ability to provide an access to a lien that is created by that shtar, and that's because of the takona of the shuk, which the Rabbanan made, you cannot collect a lien where a buyer could not have found out about that lien. And therefore, that's the whole point that Rava is making. Rish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan about a case where you've got a get comes, and here you are, and you're in Eretz Yisrael, and the signatures on the get are goyisha kinds of signatures. So shmotam kishemot of deko chavim. We have no idea who signed it. You know, we don't know whether it actually goyim who signed it, or is it just a regular guy? And it happens to be that, you know, he was really turned on by Star Wars and called himself Luke Skywalker. You know, I mean, okay, you find all kinds of funny names. So what would be the din? Amar Leis, Rabbi Yochanan says, I tell you, the only case we had like that is somebody who signed Luke, you know. So, Lo Bali Adena Ella Lucas. All right, so Luke, loose, that we were Makshir. And that's because you don't normally find Jews that use that name. Lo Shechi Yisrael Damaske Bishmatayu. And therefore, the reason we were Makshir is we said, look, if these guys are Jewish, okay, fine, so it's a regular get. If they're not Jewish, then it doesn't bother us, because since these would be Shemot Buvakim, they're obviously Eidei Mesira, and it's not Mezuyah Mitocho. I mean, I understand that all the discussion we had before, you know, in terms of Goyim and Chutz La'aretz, it's okay, that's other issues, as we'll see in a moment. So it's Dafka those, but if it's other names where it's sort of Goyish names, but there's lots of Jews that also use the name, you know? So over there you're saying, okay, here's a get. Do we have a right to assume that it was Jews? Or is it a suffix? And since it's a suffix, it wouldn't have been kosher, even with Eidei Mesira, because we would have said that we have to be geizer, it's mizuyef mitocho. Or can we just assume that it's kosher? And the din would be that if it's Shchicha Yisrael, then over there Rabbi Yochanan is saying, lo, we cannot be mekabel a get like that, because there's no Mamonav Shach. If, in fact, it was not a Jewish get, then even though it was kosher, perhaps with Eidei Mesira and so on and so forth, we'd still have a problem of Mezuyef Mitocho. That's what he tells Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish turns around and asks Rabbi Yochanan, from what we learned before, this is a braita, that gitin habaim mibidinat hayam, the edim chatumim aleihem, afal pi sheshmotehem kishmot ovdei kochavim is kosher, and this is even if we don't have Eidei Mesira. Why? Because you don't have to worry about whether it's Jewish or not. Mipnei sherov Yisrael shebechutz la'aretz shmotehem kishmot ovdei kochavim. In Chutz La'aretz, people use Goyish names. So yeah, you'll find a Peter, whatever you want. You say, what do you have? Somebody named? Yeah, absolutely. That's the way they are. Okay, so if that's the case, why be Chayshish? Since it's a get, normally a get is properly constituted. What, do you have to start being mala, all kinds of sveikas? And you, Rabbi Yochanan, just said, I have to know that it's Jewish. No. It's different. It says, I understand, says Rabbi Yochanan. It says, beferish the reason. Kidiktani taima. Mipnei, sherov yisro, shebechutzlar, shemotem, kishemotov, dekochavim. Obviously, if you have a rove, you're not going to raise a doubt about the get if there's a rove. But you're talking about, you ask me, a regular get arrives here in Eretz Yisrael with no reason, doesn't come from chutzlaret. And we have no reason to say that there's must be that it's Jewish. Why, if it was Jewish, why does the guy have such a weird name? Okay, there I'm telling you that there is indeed reason to be choshesh. Now, there's an entirely different report of the conversation between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. And some say what he asked him was not a get that was coming within Eretz Yisrael. He asked them about a get that was coming from Chutz Laaretz. And it was like exactly the case in this Braita, except Reish Lakish didn't know the Braita in this version. And Rabbi Yochanan proved to him that it's kosher. That's what he's boy. I mean, Upashet by Rabbi Yochanan, it was kosher from the Braita that says Rov Yisro b'Chutz Laaretz have non-Jewish names, and therefore there's absolutely no reason to be chayshesh, even though they are not Shemot Muvakim. Let me just turn on our special music recorder for the Volga Boatman's rendition coming up. Ha'omer tein get zele ishti, ushtar shichru zele avdi. So suppose a husband sends a get with a shliach, or an owner of an eved sends a get shichrur with a shliach. So as we saw before, we have a major machlokas about whether those two cases are precisely the same. And that was the, remember we said before, Aliba de Rebbe Eliezer, I'm sorry, Aliba de Rebbe Meir, there's four cases in which Gite Nashim and Gite Shichrurei Avonim are the same. And according to the Chachomim, there's only three cases. The fourth case, if you recall, was this case. That in neither of these cases is there a problem of changing your mind before the recipient actually receives the get, whether it's the Eved or the Isha. That was Rabbi Meir's opinion and is the first opinion in our Mishnah. In both cases, if either a husband or an owner of a slave wants to change their mind about the get or about the get shichror, they can. And at that point, he wrote to Lachzor, Bishneyem, Yachzor, Divrei Rabbi Meir, which means that the mere fact of somebody's being a recipient of such a get shichrur does not mean that he had a right to accept it in locum the eved. According to Rabbi Meir, v'chachamim omrim, and we'll see why this is true. V'chachamim omrim, look, this is only true about Gitei Nashim, because he wasn't appointed as a shliach. But by Shichrurei Avadim, we have a general rule that Zochin la'adam shelo befanav. Anything which you know that the recipient would have wanted to get into his hands as quickly as possible, it's as if you were a duly constituted shliach who was appointed to be mekabel this for him. And therefore, since we can assume that an eved would be very happy with you going along and accepting this for him so that he gains his freedom.
Is everything all right?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what just happened. But you have, is it 101 or 100?
It's 100 for the police.
Is it the 101 police? 101
for Magen David
Adom. Yeah, Magen David Adom. So,
I don't even know what this is called.
In any event,
Rebbe, everybody's awake, so go by the
So, according to the Chachamim, you were zochen for this eved the moment that you got it, and zachin adam shelo befanav, and the moment that the eved would get the shliach of the Baal decides that he's accepting it on behalf of the Eved, the Shlech of the Yodai, it would be an immediate Shechrur. Now you'll remember that Rashi before made it clear, it wouldn't be an immediate Shechrur, but it would be a Zechut, because the Shechrur is accomplished only with the logistics of an actual Mesira. But it would be an immediately giving over of the rights of Shechrur, so that he can no longer change his mind, because there's two different elements over here. One is the monetary rights and so on, that he is Zocha in. Once he's Zocha in that, you can't change your mind about being Mishtabed with him. Okay, that's a different question, which we'll get into in the Dinam of Shechrur. But basically, Zorchan Lodom Shalodafanav, and that's when it comes to an Evet. But when it comes to a get for a woman, Ein Chavinlo Shalodafanav, you cannot do something that is going to have very bad legal hashlachot for a person and say, okay, I'll accept it on his behalf. Why is it different? It's very simple. If an Adain would say, okay, listen, you don't want to be accept to get shechrur. I don't care. I'm not going to feed him anyway. So if a guy would say shalola zunet avdo, he is allowed to say I'm not going to feed him. In which case, you're not losing anything. What's the eved going to lose? You know, and therefore, it's only good for him that at least this way he can do whatever he wants, makes a parnasa somewhere else, whatever. But if you, as a husband, decided, well, I'm not taking care of my wife anymore, you can't do that. You're legally mishubat for that. So if a person would say, shalola zudet ishto, eino reshai, and therefore in accepting that get for her, you're messing up her life, because now the Baal is saying, okay, I'm not providing her anything anymore. And she, therefore, one case is not the same as the other, Rebbe Meir. So how do you say in both cases the guy could change his mind? In the case of the Eved, it's too late to change your mind. Omar Laem's Rebbe Meir said, look, I mean, suppose the owner was a Kohen, right? So the moment that this guy accepts a get shechrur from that Kohen, this Eved can never eat truma again, right? So he parcels his Eved the same way he parcels his wife when he gives her a get, in which case both Shechrur and a get have the chovah of not being able to eat truma. Amrulo, the Chacham said, what's that to do with anything? The reason that it parcels him from Achilas Truma is Bipnei Shehu Kinyano. While he's his Eved, he is a Kinyan of a Kohen, and therefore is a Kinyan Kaspo who eats truma. Whereas now he's not. Now this last unintelligible conversation, who the heck cares if the other is a Kohen? We're not talking about a case of a Kohen. And who the heck cares what the mechanism is? Well, can you know? How does that answer the question? This is totally unintelligible. Neither comment makes any sense. And obviously the Gemara is going to have to look into what is this supposed to mean. But getting back to the beginning of the question overall, the Rabbanan say over here that a shliach is able, even if he wasn't appointed as a shliach, to accept a get shechrur for an eved because it's zochin la'adam shalo b'fanav, and now if the master says, I've changed my mind, it's too late. So Yosef Ravuna Rav Yitzchak Yosef Kamed Rav Yirmiya, Ravuna Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, both Talmidim of Rav Yirmiya, were sitting in the front row of the classroom in front of Rav Yirmiya, and Rav Yirmiya has a little episode of a Ritchie attack, and he was sitting over there with a Kamenam name. He was basically doing this one-ear open lion thing, and if they try to steal my iPad, all of that. So he was sort of dremeling, you know. So anyway, they saw an opportunity to talk, thinking that Rav Yirmiya wasn't hearing, you know. So Rav Huna says, oh, well, what we can see from the Rabbanan is that since a shliach can be zocha for the shtar shechrur, and it's too bad for the owner, that you see from here that a tofes lebaal chov, he's kana. If somebody is walking by and he says, oh my gosh, this Joe has got a cow, I'm taking this cow to give back to my good friend Reuven because Joe owes him a lot of money. So he's toe-faced this for his friend Reuven. He would be Kona because essentially that's what happens over here. This shliach, who was not appointed by the Eved, is a stranger, and nonetheless he says, oh my gosh, I'm going to take this get shichrur, and I'm going to be koned for my good friend the Eved Reuven, you know, and too bad on the owner. That's what you're saying. So Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef said to Rav Huda, I just want to clarify. You're saying, afilu b'makom shechav la'achirim? You're saying, in other words, even if there were other people that this guy Joe owed money to, and they are all dying to get some of their money back. The guy went bankrupt. Everybody's in court trying to get whatever they can. You pass by and you see Joe suddenly is driving a car and he parks it outside of a bar, leaving the motor running. You run in, grab the car, and you bring it to your friend. We could say, now, wait a minute. There's another 10 people that want that car. What gives you the right to be kind for your friend? You have to put it in a fund for all of the people that Joe owes money to. Are you suggesting that because it's your friend, you were able to be kind only for Reuven? And, of course, Ravuna said, that's precisely what I'm saying, because that's the case over here, right? The Odin also has rights to this Eved. And if you are going along and you're going to be kind of the Eved for the Eved, then you're locking out the Odin from being able to change his mind. That's the equivalent of being Zocha in something for someone who is nonetheless going to be hurting other people that would have wanted to be able to. And over here, you're hurting the Odin. Absolutely. Now, that did it. Richie always keeps one ear open. Reb Yirmiyah kept one ear open. And he wakes up and he says, oh, hold on, little kids, you don't know what you're talking about. Kindalach, you got to learn how to think first before you sit there and talk in front of me your nonsense over here. The ruling is not like this, okay? You cannot be kone for your friend when there's other people that you're hurting. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, then how do you understand the Mishnah? V'im tomar Mishnah tenu. Doesn't it say, ten shtar shichur zela avdi ki be kone and prevent the other from changing his mind? Said Rabbi Yirmiyah, this Mishnah has nothing to do with that issue. This Mishnah is based on an entirely different idea, which is that Aliba the Rabbi Meir, anybody who says the word tain is also saying zakei. By definition, if he's making him the shliach, he's basically saying, do what you can for this guy. So if do what you can is bring it to him, it's bring it to him. Do what you can for the guy is, if you want to be zochan and for him, go right ahead. So it's as if he said, zaku. So since the owner himself said, essentially, go and be zochan for so-and-so, my Eved, so then he gave away his schus. So it's not considered to be a chav l'achirim. For that matter, it isn't considered to be tofes even. There's no tvis if the guy gave it to you. Rabbi Yochanan did not base the distinction of tofes where it's chav l'achirim but not chav l'achirim on the Mishnah. He just says that's the fact. Our Mishnah has no relevance to the issue of tviso whatsoever. Fine. At least many learn like that. Omer of Chista. Hatofes abalchov abalchom shechav l'achirim. We come to a major question in the Mishnah. Because there's a machlokas in Peah between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbana, the Tanan. Mishali ketet ha-Peah. You have a guy who's a landowner, you know, or he's not, certainly not an ani. So he comes along and he's malaket Peah and he says, wow, you know, here is Peah for so-and-so. I've been so worried. The president has got this fund for this poor guy. I'm going to give this Peah to our president's tzedakah fund and give it to that poor man. So he is basically tofes for a Baal Chov, or a tofes for the Ani, b'mokaim that he's being mechayev other Aniim, right? Because other Aniim say, hey, wait a minute, that wasn't fair. I was going to take that pay and you grabbed it first. So over there we have a machlokas. If a guy says, here, I'm taking this payah and I'm giving it to so-and-so the ani. Rebbe Eliezer says, okay, even an usher has a right to be zocher for someone else who is an ani. Even though he's being mafsid, obviously, all other aniyim who will no longer be able to have a chance on this payah, that's tough. I was zocher in it already. The chachamim omrim, the chachamim says, aganev, yitnenu la'ani animtza rishon, he better hand it over to the first guy who has a right to it, because since he is being chav la'acherim, he has no zechus in it whatsoever, and his tfisa was ridiculous. If he walks off with it or gives it to anybody, he's simply stealing it. Says the Gemara, no. That Mishnah is also irrelevant to our discussion. Omra, Meymar, Itema, Rav Papa, there is no comparison. Dilma Lohi. You cannot bring a raya that a Tofes Balchov. Tofes Balchov means I'm a guy walking down the street and I see somebody who owes money to my good friend. I have no business at all in being involved in all of this. But I take it upon myself to be Tofes Joe's car that he left running outside the bar, because I know that my friend would be very happy. Now, for heaven's sakes, that is not the case here, because over here, the person who is Zocha to the Peah, on the benefit of the Ani, theoretically has in his hands the right to take that Peah for himself too. How is that? Is he not an usher? He may be an usher, but it don't take much to turn an usher into an ani. All he has to say is, I am mafkir all of my property, and then he's an ani. Now he can come along and take the payah for himself. So since he could have taken that payah for himself, memela, Reb Elazar was saying, he can also take it for an ani. So there, Atka lo kama Rabbi Eliezer Atam in the Mishnah and Peah. The reason that he says I have it, maybe, could be, because since Migudi boy mafka lo dixev aviani because he lay, if he wanted to, he could have made that Peah his own. Migud zokle lenafshi zokle chavra. So since he could have taken it for himself, he can be zokha for somebody else also. Mashenke tofis abalchover, you have no rights. Maybe he would have said, no, obviously you can't do that. Or I could argue the opposite extreme. I could say, actually, that everybody owns a Tofis of Bal Chov, even it's B'mokam Shechav La'Acherim, is okay. And the only reason the Rabbanan say it's not okay by the case of Peah is because of Gzeirat HaKatuv. Since it says Hatam, by the dinim of Peah, it says, Leket Kitzircha lo tilaket le'ani v'lager tazovotam. So we darshan, lo tilaket le'ani, keep your paws off of it. And you should not be malaket it for another ani. Okay, that's Xeris HaKosim, that the Torah says the whole point of these matanot are to keep other people noses out and let the aniyim have free play in being able to take from the fields. Mashenkin, in a normal case where Teifus of Balchov, maybe they would never have said such a thing. Ask the Gemara, you know, that's a very cute drasha. Wow. What does Rebbe Eliezer do with that drasha? And he says it's okay to be malakate? No, he says, are you reading that long? Lo telakate le ani, my ovid le. He learns that that means, hey, ani, to you, sir, lo telakeit. Don't say, since I'm an ani, I don't have to worry about these matanot if I have a field. And that is lahazhir la'ani al shalom. If an ani has a field, he has no choice but to be mafrish, peya, leket, and shit campaign. He can't say, well, I'm an ani, why would I, if I can be have the right to collect from other people's field, why do I have to leave it from my field? Le'ani, I tell you, tazovotam, let go, buddy. And therefore, a completely different dialogue, in which case, it has zero connection to the sugya of Tofes Lebalchov. Yudal. Hechi dami shemot muvakim. Omer of Papa, Kagon Hormin, says Tosfos, or Hormin is his argyrsa. Abudina bar Shiptai, Tosfos points out that Shaptai is itself, Shapti is a Shapsi, a Shapsi. You know, lots of Jews are called Shapsi, but Shaptai with the extra is the name of a shade who is a Ruach Ra. And therefore, people wouldn't want to call their kids the little devil, would they? Or would they? And so we have Barkidri, Bati, Nakimuna. Those are really Goyesha names. Okay, so what do you say? Ava b'shemot she'inan muvakim mai. That it's not. You could have said, that Rabbi Shimon is makshir get nashim is dafka b'shemot muvakim. Aval. B'shemot she'inan muvakim lo. No, that is. That's essentially what it's saying. But any other case is the equivalent of Nasa Be'edyot. Shemot Shenu Muvakim, Nasa Kemisha Nasu Be'edyot, Upsulin. Or maybe a pshat is like this, that the Seifa is not referring back to the moment before. It's referring back to the Reisha, that Seifa is Atam Nagite Momai, whereas the Rabbonin who said before, Kol HaShtarot Sholim Bar Kaot HaKsherim, Olkikoma, where might you have heard that Gite, meaning Gite Momai, that they're psulim, dafka bizman shenasu be'edyot, because over there you don't have the chazaka of lo mirei nafshayu. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Yosi, kach amar Rabbi Shimon l'chachomim b'tzaydan, lo nech l'ku Rabbi Akiva v'chachomim, al kol ashtarot olim bar kot shel avdei kochovim, af v'pishachot v'yem avdei kochovim ar ksherim. There, if it's kitei moman, any, or if it's Shemot Muvakim and has Edim Asira, there's no machlokes. Lo nachlaku ella, bizman shenasu be'edyot, we're over there. Rabbi Akiva says, don't say ba'arkaot, because there's no chashash of sheker even on hedyot. Yep, nobody wants to get thrown into jail. V'chachamim poslim chutz b'gitei nashim v'shichrurei avadim. Over there, since we're saying that it had to be Edim Mesira, so because of that, we don't have any chashash that you're going to be saying. Reb Shimon Mirmli Alomer, even Gitei Noshim v'shichrurei avadim are ksherim, and the Chachamim did not argue on that. If it was a place she'en Yisrael chotmim at all, even the Chachamim weren't makshir, and they held that Shemot Muvakim is not enough. Ask the Gemara, what? I mean, so why don't we make the same gzera? If they don't hold Shemot Muvakim, they shouldn't hold of Poland either. So Makom She'en Yisrael Chotmim Nami Ligzar, Otu Makom She'en Yisrael Chotmim. And the answer is clear. Shema B'Shema Az Machlif, and it's one ruling. Atra Be'atra Lom Ichlav. Ravina Serva Lakshire these staras, even in a Knufiata de Armai, because they don't want to be marrying up shall and land up in jail either. Amalei Rafram Arkaot Tnan, and only Arkaot. If this is not your full job, then we do not assume you're not going to be marrying up shall. Omar Rava, a star written in Persian, which was Masra on the Alei Ba'api Sa'ad Yisrael, even though it's signed in Persian by Goyim, Magbinam Be'im Ibnei Chori at least, even though you cannot take away Mishu'ubadim Karkaot to others. Why is it even a good star at all? Holo Yadei L'mikra. No, obviously they had to know how to read it, Pidiyadei. But what about the fact that it's not written on security paper? And Abina K'tav Sheni Yochol Lezayef, like, no, it is written on security paper. Pidiyafitzan. Well, what about the fact that to be a proper star, Tzorek Sheksim Minyanosha Star B'shita Achronam, we don't have that. No, we do, obviously. It means it was a kosher star in every way. Well, I don't understand. If it's a kosher star in every way, then you should be able to collect Mishubadi also. Ah, that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that since it's in Persian, let Leikala, and that is enough not to be able to be given Mishubadi. We cannot protect the buyer. Boy, Minei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. How about if Edim are Chatumim on a get in Eretz Yisrael, and I don't know, it's weird names, and their names sound like Goyesha names, and we have no idea, were they really Goyim? We don't know. Mao. Omar Le, look, we know that shtarot with Goyish names are kosher, but only where a get has a name like Lucas, Luz, and so on. And that we were magshir, because there it's Shemot Muvakim. So Dafka, Lucas, Luz, Loshich, Yisro, Damaski, Bishamayah. But other names which sound Goyish, but still you do find Jews. Shchich, Yisro, Damaski, Bishamayah, you have to know that it was done by a Jew. You can't be magshir it. Even if there were Edim Asira. Etvei Reish Lakish as Gitin Abayim Midenatayim Vinim Chatumim Aleihem Afal Pishis Shmotayim Kishemot of Deko Chavim Kisherim Mipnei Sherov Yisrael Shabachutz Loretz have Goyish names. Says Rabbi Yochanan, that's exactly the point. How to get it done in time? But they should rove Yisrael Shabachutz Loretz Shmotayim Kishemot of Deko Chavim. So Mamela, obviously, you could be Taylor. Why should I be Chayshish that it's a Goy? Mashenkin, in Eretz Yisrael, there's something very strange about having a get like that. So I have to be Chayshish. Maybe it's not Yisrael. Ikeni Amre, and others say that he didn't ask him that case. He asked him Dafka when it was coming from Chutz Loretz. Kimat Nita Boimine, and he answered him from the bright of Chutz Loretz. Poshatle, Mimat Nita Mishnah. Omer ten get zeli ishti, or a case where Omer shtar shikru zela avdi imra tzalach zor b'shneim. In either of these cases, he could be chozer before it gets into the hands of the addressee. Divrei Rabbi Meir. No. It's true by kitei nashim he could be chozer, but it's not true b'shikru rei avadim, because the moment that the shliach got the shtar zochin ladam shelo befanav, but ain't chavin lo befanav, and therefore the get, of course, would not be a get. And the reason that there's a difference is because imratza shalola zunet avdo reshai, and therefore the eved's not getting anything out of being an eved, but shalola zunet ishto ain't on reshai. Amarlam, so Rabbi Meir says, well, I mean, the Odin, if the Odin were a Kohen, he would be passing the eved from Truma, and that would be the same as passing his wife. Say the Chachomim, but that doesn't prove anything. The only reason that the eved is possible is because before he was Kinyono, and not is now he's not Kinyono. None of which makes sense, of course. Yosef Ravuna, Rav Yisrael, Yosef Kabeda, Rav Yirmiyah. V'Yosef Rav Yirmiyah, and he was richarding. V'Yosef Ravuna, V'Ka'amah, Shema Minah Min Rabbanan, that had to face the Baal Chov Kana. Amalek Rav Yisrael, Yosef, do you mean Afilim Amakam Shechav Lacherim? Amalek, well, obviously that's what I mean. Is that the whole point of the Mishnah here? You're taking it away from the Onai. And that was enough to get Richie up. And Adachit Arba, Rav Yirmiyah. Amar lo dardeke, please. You have to learn how to think before you start talking in front of me. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, how to face the Baal Chov Makom Shechav Lach rename lo kana. Im tomar, as you two just did. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah is based on a different halacha. Kola Omer Tnu is the equivalent of Omer Zaku. Omer of Chistatov is the Baal Chov Makom Shechav Lach rename bonal makakad Rabbi Eliezer Rabban in the Mishnah Peyat. It's not. Mishli ketet ha-peyat. And he himself is an Ashir. And he says, I'm being zeicha this for Ploniani. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, great, zakhalo. And the Chachamim say, this guy's a ganav. He was not zeicha for anybody. He better hand it over to the first honey that he finds. So you see that that's good for the machlokas. Omer HaMemer, Vitamer of Papa. It has nothing to do with this case. Over there, Dilma Loni. Maybe Atkan Lokomer Rabbi Eliezer Hatam. The only reason Rabbi Eliezer said over there that you can be zeicha is because you have yourself the possibility of being zeicha for yourself. Because Migu, the boy, Mafkalu, the Nixiv Avioni, because he lay personally, so he said, because of that Migu, he can also be Tob Migu, the zeicha Le Lanaf, she can also be zeicha Lechabri. Mashenkin, the Tov is the Baal Chov, the Mokum Shechav La. Of course you can't do that. Lo, if you don't have a schutz in it, which is walking by, then you do whatever you want. The art kind of could be the opposite way too. Maybe everybody's motive that you can do whatever you want if you want to do it for your friend. The art kind look, I'm Rabbanan Hatam. The reason Rabbanan says that you cannot do that in Peya and to make other aniyim lose out, that's because it's a gzirat hakatuv. Because it says, leket kitzircha, lo telaket lani. See? Lotelakeit for the ani. So if somebody is the usher, he cannot be malakeit for purposes of giving to an ani. But in a normal case, where your type is the Baal Chov, maybe you can. Aval hachalo. V'Rabbi Eliezer, what does he do with that beautiful drush of lotelakeit la'ani? My Ovid Le? He says, le'ani, Mr. Lotelakeit. And that is lazir ha'ani on his own sad al-shalo, that he has to be mafrish matanais from.